War stories. The phrase has become common over the years, but real war stories are those shared by the veterans of America's wars. The Library of Congress is doing its part to collect as many war stories as possible through its Veterans History Project. Bob Patrick is the director of that project. He joins us now to describe the program and what the Library of Congress hopes to accomplish. Mr. Patrick, good morning. Thanks for being with us.
Good morning, Tom. Great to be here.
Okay, so this sounds like a fascinating program, a project that you have going. Tell us what it's all about.
Well, the Veterans History Project at the Library of Congress, we're in our 10th year. Congress passed legislation in 2000 to create this project. And the purpose of the project is to collect and preserve the wartime memories of America's veterans. And we've been very successful in doing that, creating, we think, the largest archive of this type in American history of some 72,000 collections. We have stories from veterans from World War I all the way up to the current conflicts in Iraq and Afghanistan.
How can non-veterans help out with this project?
Well, it's a great question, Amy. What we're really looking for, there's 17 million living wartime veterans. And what we really need is for people to go out and interview them. We've been very successful. This has been a voluntary effort for the last 10 years with the Veterans History Project of schools, retirement communities, veterans service organizations, historical societies, libraries. All these people have been kicking in to interview these veterans, but we still need to get more. And anyone can do it. As we like to say, it's as simple as finding the veteran in your life and interviewing for the Veterans History Project.
So are most of the ones that you're getting in family types of stories or self-professed by the veterans? What format do they come in?
Well, they're oral histories, either audio or video oral history that someone sits down with a camera or tape recorder and records the veteran. We also take in, if the veteran is no longer with us, or even if he is with us or she's with us, we take in letters, photographs, diaries, those types of materials. But about half of the interviews we have been done by families who want to make this a part of their family's history.
Now, what happens if you get, say, a 3-inch reel-to-reel tape that might have been recorded, you know, in the 1970s or something? Are you able to extract the information from it?
That's the great thing of being at the Library of Congress. The Library of Congress, as you know, is the largest collection of information in the world. We have the capability here of taking in all types of media. I will say for the project now, we're asking people not to send us VHS tapes because they've kind of gone out of use. But we can take in most formats. And a lot of people are doing it digitally these days, which makes it a lot easier for us.
So you're looking for oral histories, but how do you vet this information? How do you know somebody's not sending you something that is just purely out there?
An oral history is just that. It's a person's remembrance of an event, of what they think happened and what they remember is happening. We do not vet this information. We do not review it all. In fact, it would be impossible for us to do. That is the nature of oral history. And when someone is doing research, and oral history is something to complement what is being done, and someone would have to listen to several oral histories to probably get the whole story of something.
And from a project like this, can we also not only learn about the veterans, but also learn a greater picture about the battles and the course of the war itself?
Exactly. You get a grassroots level of what happened. You know, histories are to be written by historians and generals and statesmen about significant events like that. But to get it from the bottom up, we like to say from the foxhole to the cockpit to the motor pool to the mess hall, you know, all aspects. The human experience of war is what we'd like to call it.
We're talking with Bob Patrick. He's the director of the Veterans History Project at the Library of Congress. And I was just plunking around on your website. Really sharp website, if I could just tell you that.
Thank you very much.
How are you using this to reach out to people and to share the work that you've already accomplished?
Well, we have been able, as I said, of the 72,000 collections we've had, we've been able to digitize over 9,000. So as you say, people can actually go to our website now, look at a number of these different interviews that have been done, oral histories. We also use that as an opportunity to tell people how to participate in the project. You can download our Veterans History Project Field Kit that tells anyone all they need to know about doing an interview. We also have a 15-minute video on there that complements that field kit that actually teaches someone, provides someone's instruction on how to do an interview. And then, of course, as I said, we have the database where people can search the collections we have to see if there's something in there that interests them.
And what's the end game here? Will you publish volumes? Will you? I know it's on a website, but do you have some kind of a publication to encapsulate all this, or try to derive the meta information from it that you'll put out at some future date?
We have published a couple of books that have kind of highlighted parts of the collection, but in terms of doing a major work about it, we think just the archive here and encouraging people either go to our website to access the information, or like anyone can, come to the Library of Congress. It is open to the public, and people can see and view and research all the material we have here.
Now, I have a granddad who was in World War II, but I also have a brother who was in Iraq. Is the Veterans History Project prioritizing? Is there any priority given to one over the other?
The legislation said that we were to go out and search for the older veterans first, and we've done that. As you can imagine, as you know, the World War II generation is a diminishing demographic in our country. We lose some 900 World War II veterans every day. And we, of the 72,000 we have, about 43,000 are World War II veterans. That doesn't say we're not looking for interviews from Korea, Vietnam, and the current conflicts, or Desert Storm from the early 90s. All of those are important, and we're seeking out all of them.
Now, Tammy Duckworth of the Veterans Affairs Department told us last week that the VA is still paying benefits to the last remaining World War I veteran.
Mm-hmm.
Have you sought that gentleman out and tried to...
Frank Buckles is on our website.
In fact,
I think he's highlighted, we did a web presentation, kind of a 10th-year commemoration, some of our better interviews. And I know Frank is one of those interviews, so people can go. In fact, we have two interviews with Frank Buckles. Wonderful man, great story of World War I, and also in World War II, some people don't realize, he was incarcerated by the Japanese for all of World War II as a civilian merchant mariner. He's got a great story.
Well, I feel glad about that. I'm really delighted you told us that story. Bob Patrick is director of the Veterans History Project at the American Folklife Center at the Library of Congress. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure, and I hope everyone will reach out during this holiday season and talk to the veteran in their life.